नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भागवतम कैंटोस 8 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द मनुज एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट 3 the last line, middle word is anagate adya va yadasminantare brahman bhagavan vishwabhavanah कृतवान कुरुते कर्ता यतीते नागते द्यवा Translation O learned Brahmana, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past manvantaras, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvantaras. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said that both He and the other living entities present on the battlefield had existed in the past, they existed at present, and they would continue to exist in the future. Past, present, and future always exist, both for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for ordinary living entities. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Both the Lord and the living entities are eternal and sentient. But the difference is that the Lord is unlimited, whereas living entities are limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of everything. And although the living entities are not created, but exist with the Lord eternally, their bodies are created, whereas the Supreme Lord's body is never created. There is no difference between the Supreme Lord and His body. But the conditioned soul, although eternal, is different from His body. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सहोदितो गौड़ोदय पुष्पवंतो चित्रवशंदो तमोनुदो उग्रोपी अनुग्रह एवायम स्वभक्तानाम नरिकेश्री केश्री वसुपोतानाम अन्येषाम उग्र विक्रमः हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे इज द श्रावण शुक्ल चतुर्थी द 15 days of the Shravan month, where the sun is in the waxing phase, and the fourth day of this Shukla Paksh, or the waxing phase of the moon in this month of Shravan, is celebrated as the day of the disappearance of Shripad Raghunandan Thakur and the great Vaishnav Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Raghunandan Thakur appeared within this creation on Vasant Panchami. as a son of the great devotee Mukunda Das in the village of Shrikhanda, Bengal. In this village of Shrikhanda, the family of Mukunda Das was very well known, especially because Mukunda Das was the personal doctor, the Vaidya of the king. And there are many anecdotes devotees remember very fondly of the activities of Mukunda Das as being very much devoted and attracted to the activities and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mukunda Das also happened to be the classmate of Lord Gauranga when he was performing his pastimes as a student. And they were very fast friends, very close friends. Well, Lord Gauranga took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri from Bengal. Mukunda Das had gotten married and he had one son. By Lord Gauranga's mercy, he named his son Raghunandan. It is explained in the Gaur Ganadesh Deepika that in the spiritual world, Krishna is the original personality. For the sake of his own enjoyment, he expands in various ways through his various potencies. Through his potency of Leela, or that potency which allows him to have his pastimes, he expands into Balaram, the first servitor Godhead, or the first servant in this universe, in the whole creation, not just this universe, but in the whole creation. Balaramji expands into the Chaturvyuha, or four forms, quadruple forms, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Now, Sankarshan from this quadruple expands into Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan expands into the second set of quadruple expansions, also called Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And from Sankarshan 2 comes Mahavishnu as an expansion, and finally this material creation through his breathing. It is explained that Krishna is the original attractive personality. He is a sum total of all attractive beauty. And this attractive nature of Krishna as being very beautiful, he manifests this potency within the third personality of the quadruple expansion, Pradyumna, who is also known as the transcendental Cupid. There is one Cupid in this material universe called Manmatha, Kamadev. Whatever beauty Kamadev possesses is just a drop of the beauty of the ocean of beauty of Pradyumna. The same Pradyumna has appeared in Lord Gauranga's pastimes as Raghunandan. And therefore he was so attractive. It was as if Lord Gauranga had totally invested all of his bodily beauties into the very form of Raghunandan. Therefore, devotees would often refer to him as Cupid or Kamadev. Not the Kamadev of this universe, but the transcendental Kamadev. So Raghunandan had so many beautiful features. However, that which attracted the hearts of the devotees the most was his devotional attitude. It is explained that since his very childhood, he had a deep attraction for the deity form of the Lord. And there is a well-known pastime activity performed by him as a young child of 4 or 5 years old. His father had been called away on very urgent business by the king himself. And they had the deity of Gopinath within their house. Being the only male member in the house who was qualified or old enough to worship the deity, there was a problem. Mukunda Das did have a younger brother by the name of Narahari Sarkar. But Narahari Sarkar was so much disinterested in anything to do with material management that he would never stay at home. He was always staying in different places, specifically the tirthas or holy places of the Lord, and engaged constantly in Sankirtan. So Narahari was not there, and Mukunda was supposed to be going to the king's palace, which would take him more than a day. It would be an overnight stay. So the problem was, who would serve Gopinath that day? Who would offer him bhoga, food? So finally, it was decided that young Raghunandan would do it. Now, very interestingly, when this pastime is being described, it is said that Raghunandan was playing outside with his friends. He was playing in the dust of Shrikhanda village outside his home. And his father calls him and says, "Come in, Raghunandan, and you have to offer bhoga to Gopinath." So nice contrast. There's someone who's playing outside. It is not that Raghunandan was, you know, sitting down, and he was, generally we have an idea like that, isn't it? Oh, maybe he was sitting down reading scriptures, and he was doing all that most probably. But right now, when this activity is being described, it is explained that Raghunandan is playing outside and is called from his play by his father, and is told by his father, "Offer bhoga to Gopinath whenever your mother is ready." And Raghunandan agrees. For a young child who was just playing and in that playful attitude, maybe he didn't realize what he had gotten into. You see, it is such a wonderful pastime. He was just playing outside. He was in a playing mood. And his father calls him and says, "You have to do it." And he says, "Yes, yes, father, I will do it." Now, Mukunda Das, maybe he's not really convinced, or he's convinced, but he has no option. His son has said, "Yes, yes, I'll do it." But will he be able to do? Should he trust his son? None of this is being explained in this pastime. However, what is being explained is that Mukunda has to go out, and thus putting full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his potency, he leaves. So Raghunandan is again playing outside. Maybe it was his holidays from school. And he's playing. And then his mother calls him. And Raghunandan comes in. So such obedience. Generally, to leave your play and come. Even sometimes Krishna and Balaram would find it difficult. In Krishna Lila, it is explained that if they are playing outside Nanda Bhavan, sometimes in Gokul Mahavan when they are playing, sometimes when they are playing in Nandagram, and their friends challenge them, "Oh, if you leave, then we'll never ever take you back to play." Krishna and Balaram, it is as if The ears are no longer hearing Mother Yashoda's pleas to come back. They don't want to come. So it's difficult for children to leave their play and come. But Raghunandan, it is explained that he would hear the voice of his mother and he would come. Such detachment is even difficult for the yogis to do. Immediately he would come in. So he came. His mother said, all right, I'm ready. The bhoga is ready. So Raghunandan goes and washes his hands and feet and his mouth. Generally, it is explained in Vedic culture that if one has to do something very auspicious, then one must wash one's hands, one's feet, and one's mouth. The idea being that the feet take you to so many places, so they become inauspicious or contaminated. The hands, they make you do so many activities and touch so many objects, contaminated. And the mouth is constantly salivating, which means I want to enjoy. Isn't it? What does one say when one hears, oh, something very tasty is there? One says, saliva is dripping in my mouth. Right? And if one is fearful, the mouth dries up. So it indicates the enjoying propensity. Just thinking of food right now, my mouth is salivating. So this is the enjoying propensity. So there is the tongue, the mouth represents this constantly salivating. And at the same time, it is used to speak all nonsense. So with this contaminated mouth, how can you approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Hence, when one does achaman or purifies the mouth. So this is culture. It is not just a ritual. Such activities allow us to come back to the consciousness that one is part and parcel of Krishna. Servant of Krishna. So Raghunandan does that. And then his mother brings the bhoga. He goes in to offer it to Gopinath. Now again, his father had been very meticulous. Mukunda Das, as a young boy, when he was studying in school, Lord Chaitanya would feel privileged to discuss with him philosophy, logic. Not just discuss, but have debates with him. Which indicates that he was definitely a very erudite scholar. Now, from most of us who have been associated within our families with persons who have some knowledge, who are scholars in that sense, good at school, especially children, if they have fathers like this, then definitely the experience is the father is always teaching them. Oh, this is what, in our time, we used to do like this. We used to do like this. This is how you should study. So their parents, their father are always having the atmosphere of being studious. So obviously we can understand that Mukunda must also be dealing with Raghunandan like that. Teaching him. However, it is explained in this pastime that when Raghunandan comes in to offer the food to Gopinath, he puts the plate right there on the small chowki. No, the altar, there is a small table. He puts it on that. And then he says, Gopinath, eat. And he sits down right in front. It is not that he is just being childish, but he is very childlike. A family like Mukunda's has imparted proper training, definitely. However, this pastime where he says Gopinath eat, it indicates a deep devotional feeling that this young child has. When we hear in these scriptures that the Lord is not attracted by one's scholarship, one's performance of austerities, how do we understand it? He is attracted simply by one's devotional attitude. How does one understand? Here is one way we can understand through the activity of Raghunandan. Obviously, this boy must have known at least the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if nothing else. I mean, his house is saturated with that. And he's a five-year-old boy. Five-year-old children in our congregation, they sometimes recite mantras which even brahmacharis find it difficult to recite. Their parents are very happy to teach them that. In one particular lecture long back, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning about the daughter of Sitanath Prabhu. Maybe 3 years old or something like that. And she asked him something about Narsingha prayers, and she chanted the whole Narsingha prayers. And Gaur Gopal Prabhu was amazed. A young child like that. They know all these mantras. So obviously Raghunandan must be knowing all of that. Or at least he must know that if you are offering something, children are taught. That please, my dear child, when you offer something to the Lord, say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Raghunandan must have known that. What do you think? But he is there in front of the deity of Gopinath, and his loving devotion for the Lord is so intense that he offers a plate to the Lord and says, eat. No, please. Gopinath, eat. And Gopinath is just standing there with the flute. So Raghunandan says, eat. And he's standing and he's there in front of the deity, not leaving the room. Maybe Gopinath is feeling, if he leaves the room, I'll fulfill a desire of the child and eat. So nice. It is as if the Lord is being coy and shy. How can I eat in front of him? Raghunandan says, no, eat in front of my eyes. If you don't eat, my father will become so unhappy that I could not perform my religious duty as a son. And Lord, Gopinath is thinking, this is the servant of my servant. He wants to please my devotee. If he wants to please my devotee, I have to do something extraordinary. So Gopinath eats. In the deity form, the deity is eating, picking up the food and eating. And Raghunandan is so happy. And then Gopinath leaves half. So Raghunandan said, what's the matter? Isn't it good? Gopinath says, no, this is the policy. I'm simply following the policy. Raghunandan says, I don't know what is policy, what is this, what is that. All I know is that you have to eat. And eating means plate should be empty. Now you ask any child, the child will definitely say, my mother has taught, eating means plate should be empty. There should not be a single grain seen on the plate. Children have experience of that. So Raghunandan is like, he's imitating his mother and saying, eating means plate should be empty. Gopinath says, now what can I do? He's so persistent in his devotion. He finishes up the whole plate. So then Raghunandan brings out the plate. And his mother asks him, so, did Gopinath eat? Raghunandan says, yes, he ate. Now I'm going to play. Immediately he's back to play. This is loving devotion. The whole thing was not a ritual. There's so much of devotion involved. And the child is being a child. The child is not coming out with a halo around his head. You know, and a picture later on, Raghunandan small with a big halo behind his head, Babaji. Still a child. He goes out to play. He wants to go out to play. Now mother is very much concerned. She says, so what about this empty plate? Raghunandan says, Gopinath has eaten. She's so shocked. First of all, seeing the empty plate. And secondly, the child, being so childlike and saying, yeah, Gopinath ate everything. Somehow or the other, she feels that this matter should be addressed by her husband. This is where otherwise motherly affection can result in something else. This is where you need some analysis. An analysis means the father has to be involved. Mother is full of love. But sometimes you have to analyze things. So then the male ego has to be involved. Analysis means male ego means analysis. Female ego means I don't understand, I just like it, so I do it. So this is some psychology. So she says, father has to be involved. Father comes in the next day, so where is the Mahaprasad? She says, now this is also very interesting. This family, yes, listen. The father says, where is the Mahaprasad? She says, today we have to go hungry. It means everything they had cooked, they had offered to Gopinath. Or they ate only what came off the altar from Gopinath. Very rarely seen. Now in a temple where there are 140 brahmacharis and so many employees, you cannot take, you may, but it is not very practical. But at home, there are only 3 or 4 members. In this family, there were only 3. And the wife is telling the husband, today nothing. Plate is empty. So such a nice family. Or a nice example of how everything in that one possesses can be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It just requires one's spontaneous desire to do it. So Mukunda says, how is that? She says, don't ask me, ask your son. I am not involved. Why I am to be blamed always? This time, not me, your son is involved. So Mukunda Das calls in his son and says, Raghunandan, what happened? Raghunandan says, something wrong? He's again called in from play. He doesn't understand this question. So Mukunda says, I asked you to offer this plate to Gopinath, right? Raghunandan says, yes, I did it. Gopinath ate everything. Mukunda says, can you explain to me that what does it mean that he ate everything? Right? So this is philosophical inquiry. What does it mean that he ate everything? Father is asking son. Son says, ate means he ate. No, can you explain it to me? So son says, yes, I can. He took the food in his hand, put it into his mouth, chew it a little, finished it. And if he ate everything like that, actually, he stopped halfway. But I told him, you have to eat everything. Mother says, everything of the plate should be finished. So he ate everything. Now Mukunda Das, he knew his son. He knew his son, what he was capable of. And he knew his son was not capable of fabricating stories. But this was beyond his understanding. At least, whatever experience he had had until then in his life, this was beyond. So he hit upon a plan. He said, Raghunandan, can you offer to Gopinath again some bhoga? Raghunandan said, all right. Now again, Raghunandan is not crying, what papa, I'm playing yesterday also, today also, how many times? Now you're here, you do. No. He is obedient to his father. At the same time, he loves Gopinath. And nothing, not even a child's play, can distract him when he receives an opportunity to serve Gopinath as a young child. So Mukunda gives him a laddu, a bundi laddu, chickpea flour laddu, and says, offer it to Gopinath. So Raghunandan goes inside again, washes his hand, washes his feet, washes his mouth, goes into the altar with the laddu, and he says, Gopinath, eat. So Gopinath is standing. Raghunandan says, what's the matter? Yesterday you ate, why are you not eating today? So Gopinath said, Raghunandan, that was different. Raghunandan said, I don't know anything different. My father has asked me to offer this to you, so please eat, otherwise father will be unhappy. So Gopinath again, he says, my philosophy is that the servant of the servant is very dear to me. So again, he has to lift up the laddu and eat. However, Gopinath knows why this is happening. At the same time, it is explained that Mukunda Das is looking in through the window of the deity room. From outside the deity room, he is looking in through the window, watching all this happen. And he observes Gopinath eating. At the same time, Gopinath knows that this is what Mukunda wants. So he says, I'll only eat half the laddu, the remaining half is for your family. This is called Mahaprasad, Raghunandan. Raghunandan says, oh, okay, okay. Now you're explaining proper philosophy. So I accept it. I accept that half should be left behind. So he takes back half to his father. And it is explained that even today, the pujaris in Shrikhanda, they offer the spiritual tourists the opportunity to see that laddu, or Gopinath with the half-eating laddu. I personally haven't experienced this, but it is explained that even today, it is done. I don't know how. But for those of you all who are very adventurous, coming yatra, you can try if there's an opportunity. This is an advertisement. One of the places we'll be visiting is Shrikhanda, definitely. So we can remember this pastime. So later on, many years later, many means a few, obviously, even as a young child, every year Mukunda Das, the people from Shrikhanda would go to meet Lord Chaitanya this phase, these 4 months, starting from Ashad to Kartik, the Chaturmas, they would go to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri and also for the Rath Yatra celebration. And Lord Chaitanya would arrange for various parties to dance in front of Lord Jagannath, and would arrange for some people to be the players who would play mridanga and kartals. There would be some who would sing and some who would dance. And in the party of Shrikhanda, there would always be, the dancers would be Narhari, Sarkar. And when Raghunandan became a little old, I mean a young man rather, not just old means not an old man, but young, then he would be accompanying Narhari Sarkar in the dancing, and Lord Chaitanya would love to see uncle and nephew dancing like this. They would be the main dancers in the Shrikhanda party. However, when this was many years before that, when Raghunandan was still a small boy, Lord Chaitanya called in Mukunda Das, and he said, Mukunda, I have a big query and I'm not able to find an answer to it. So Mukunda says, my dear Lord, whatever, please ask. If I'm able to serve, I will serve. In whatever capacity? He says, who is father and who is son? Are you the father of Raghunandan and Raghunandan your son? Or is Raghunandan your father and you his son? Now, from the ordinary point of view, this appears to be an illogical question. Now, you ask any person who's not introduced to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness or Vaishnavism, and they'll say, pagal ho gaya, kya question pooch raha Bhagwan? You know, sometimes people say, ordinary people, not those who are introduced to Vaishnavism, maybe God is crazy, God is mad, God does not know what to do in this world, God is dead, God is this, God is that. But those who know the Vaishnava philosophy, they understand things clearly. So here in this conversation, Lord Chaitanya is hinting at something very, very deep. That who is actually our maintainer? Which person should we really think as, this person is responsible, this person is my caretaker. Someone whom I can follow throughout my life. For the father, the pita, is supposed to be the person who maintains and protects everyone under his jurisdiction. That is the meaning of pita. To maintain and to protect. To provide and to protect. Matri or mata is the one who provides the sufficient affection and love. So who is the father, who is the son? And Mukunda says, Raghunandan is the father and I am the son. For anyone who can teach one the proper philosophy of Krishna consciousness and make us understand it and applied in our lives is actually our protector and our maintainer. And that is a person whom we should follow. That person is the guru or the father. Therefore, Pita is known as Guru Pita. Not just Pita, but Guru Pita, or the father is the spiritual master. A father should be the spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya is so happy to hear this. He says, why do you say like that, Mukunda? He says, because Raghunandan taught me what is devotion. Devotion is not a matter of simply ritualistic activities to be performed. Devotion is not a matter of simply doing things exactly as one has learned or has been taught. But devotion means application of one's consciousness. When one once applies, when one surrenders one's consciousness under the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is bhakti. That is what is attractive to the Lord. That is the attractive principle. So, Lord Chaitanya is very happy. There are various other pastimes of Raghunandan Thakur. In fact, it is explained that Raghunandan Thakur, he arranged for the first time for many, many devotees of Lord Chaitanya to come together at Shrikhanda and perform the Adivas, the main ceremony, and the post-day ceremony of the disappearance of his spiritual master, Narahari Sarkar. Beautiful festival of Sankirtan. With so many powerful Vaishnava Acharyas who had strong faith and love in the mission of Lord Chaitanya, they all came to Shrikhanda Gram. And Raghunandan was the inspiring force. For everyone loved Raghunandan so much. When he invited them for the ceremony, they all came. When we go to Shrikhanda Gram, for those of us who will be fortunate enough to be there in the beautiful transcendental dust of Shrikhanda, it is still a very beautiful village, far away from all the commercialism. There are various pastimes of Raghunandan Thakur that we'll hear. There are many more. So today is the disappearance day of Raghunandan Sarkar. And also the disappearance of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, who is a Vaishnava Acharya of recent times. He was actually a very close friend of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was very much revered by Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. It is explained that Bansidas Babaji Maharaj was born in Maiminsingh, Bangladesh. Now it is known as Majidpur village, Jamalpur district of Bangladesh. Somewhere in the northern eastern part of Bangladesh. This terrain is very beautiful. There are hills, Silhet, close to Silhet. Beautiful fields, and most importantly, the population there is still, even today, much of the population follow the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees of Lord Gauranga. So his father was also a merchant, most probably, so he also became a merchant, he became married. But he was so much disinterested in married life after finishing his responsibilities to some extent. One day he just gave up his shop and went to Vrindavan. Came to Nabadweep and then to Vrindavan. And became a Babaji. Complete renunciation. And he would always carry two cloth bags with him. In one bag would be Gaur Nitai and the other bag would be Radha Govinda. And that was all his possession. Nothing else. Two cloth bags, that's all. Babaji Maharaj. Bhangshidash Babaji Maharaj. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had so much faith in him that from the Gaudiya Math he had assigned particularly wherever Bhangshidash Babaji Maharaj would go. It was a unwritten order by Shripad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that there would be a personal servant assigned to him to look after his needs. Obviously, Babaji Maharaj was also very much known for his devotional qualities and he had a few followers. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would feel, he felt that to serve such an exalted Vaishnava is a lifetime achievement. Right? In the external world, they give lifetime achievements. They give trophies. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur felt that this was a lifetime achievement to be received, to serve an exalted Vaishnava like Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. And since our Paramparam Guru Maharaj felt like that, therefore we have faith in him when he says that Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj is an exalted Paramhansa. And for us, he is very much to be respected. We can pray to him for whatever desires we have. For on such days, prayers are easily accessible. These persons are easily accessible through their prayers. These personalities. It is explained that Babaji Maharaj would never keep his kutir locked. Babajis do that. If you go to Vrindavan and you see the kutirs of Babajis, then sometimes you'll find locks out of there or put on the outside door. But Babaji Maharaj would never do it. And therefore, more than often, in fact, invariably, when he would come back to his kutir, everything would have been stolen. One of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj's disciples, a sannyasi, he explains that one day he had gone to visit Babaji Maharaj because he was in the region. He was in Midnapur in Bengal and his Gaudiya Math was there. So he went to visit Babaji Maharaj. And he found that, now Babaji Maharaj had a policy that devotees would come and offer so much to Radha Govinda. He would mentally offer it to Radha Govinda and distribute everything. Keep nothing for himself. Everything would be distributed to whoever came. So one day such a stack of various items was there outside his kutir and a cow was merrily eating it. And Babaji Maharaj was observing this cow eating and was laughing and laughing and laughing. So this sannyasi, he approached the servant of Babaji Maharaj. This is an important policy. It's better to approach a servant. They can explain things much more clearly than directly asking them, Babaji, why are you doing this? Sometimes they are very transcendental. So Babaji Maharaj was laughing. So he asked his servant, why is Babaji laughing? He says, yesterday, all the utensils in the kutir were stolen by someone. And today, all the food is being eaten by the cow. And Babaji Maharaj is so happy. Everything is gone. No utensils, no food. So he's laughing and laughing and laughing. Like our Srila Prabhupada, when he heard his pharmacy had been robbed, his business was destroyed, and he started laughing. It is there in the Leelamrit. And Prabhupada was laughing and says, Krishna is so merciful, he's taken away everything. For someone who is specially dear to me, I take away everything that he possesses. So Babaji Maharaj was just laughing. And the sannyasi was, when he heard this, he was amazed. Sometimes Babaji Maharaj would call out to Gaur Nitai, never to Radha Govinda. And he says, what is this? Now everything has been stolen. How will I cook? Today you go hungry. It is also explained of, I think, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. He would also be in that mood. Everything is gone. How will I cook today? So, no cooking today. You fast and I fast. So if Gaur Nitai, they want food, then they have to provide some security. Sometimes he would say like that. Or sometimes he would give the explanation, Krishna is a thief. He steals everything, so it comes. He steals away from people, so people are offering to him. And now somebody has stolen from him. So what will happen to a thief? Someone will come and steal from him. So this is why everything is being stolen. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he respected him as much as he respected Gaur Kashyap Das Babaji Maharaj as his guru. And he had a special policy. He said, somehow or the other, after Vanshidas Babaji Maharaj would eat, would honor prasad, which would be quite rare. Some arrangement was made that something would remain in his plate and that would be nicely packaged and couriered to the Gaudiya Math to be eaten as Maha Maha Prasad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted this to be done. Because this Mahaprasad has got, this is one of the three Mahabals, things that have great potency. And one is Mahaprasad, or the remnants, or the Uchishta of exalted devotees. So these are the various pastimes of the devotees. Now today, the verse says, here Parikshit Maharaj is very eager to understand the various activities of the Lord in the various manvantaras. So what is very attractive to a devotee? What does a devotee always want to know? Now, Bhagavatam class is already over, in one sense. Last chapter, the class got over. Shukdev Maharaj said, and so, I have described to you what a civilized human society should be like, and I have answered your question that the Supreme Lord is not partial. He is always impartial. Finished. Class is over. But Parikshit Maharaj says, he's feeling, I have only a few more days to live. And class is already over. What will I do for the remaining days? How will I survive? So he raises up his hand and says, I have one more question. One more inquiry to make. And the speaker is almost getting down. Shukdev Maharaj, he speaks, and it's gone like that. It is explained as soon as 12 cantos are over, no one knew where Shukdev Maharaj was. He got down and he left. And we don't find any reference later on that, you know, he went somewhere, he did. Where did he go? We don't know. He just got down and he left. So before that could happen, Parikshit Maharaj folds his hands in front of Shukadev Goswami and says, please, I have one more inquiry. Please, can you explain the various, can you explain how in various manvantars or in different ages the Lord appears as his incarnation? It's already 9:26. Please give me 4 more minutes. I'm going to finish in 4 minutes with something that I felt was important in this connection. In the 11th canto, the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty is being explained. It is a very wonderful chapter. It explains so many philosophical doubts that one may have. It explains with clarity. However, I want to refer to one particular verse wherein it is explained why Krishna appears in this world. Since, please describe to us the activities of the Supreme Lord. Why does he appear? So it is explained, the verse, I'll just give the English translation. All right. Swamurtya Rupa Lavanya Nirmuktya Lochanam Nranam. Simply by appearing this world and revealing his wonderful form, Krishna makes it possible for the eyes to be liberated. That is why he appears. So that our eyes can be liberated from trying to see other things in this world. This world is attractive. It is Krishna's potency. She is Maya. The spiritual potency of the Lord. For us, she is the material energy. But as far as Krishna, she is his personal energy. She is as beautiful as Krishna is. The more we see Maya in connection with Krishna, she becomes more beautiful. The more we try to enjoy Maya separate from Krishna, she takes on the form of Kal. Kal Rupini. She is destructive. Maya is very beautiful. As long as we see her in connection with Krishna, as Krishna's potency, Krishna's consort, someone to be enjoyed by Krishna. So, she's attractive, definitely. And therefore, in this world, it is so easy to get attracted or distracted. So, Krishna comes. Now, if energy is so powerful, so attractive, can you imagine how attractive the energetic must be? That is why he comes, to detach our eyes Not just detach, but liberate our eyes. Then he wants to liberate our ears by speaking philosophy. Krishna's words are so beautiful. Arjun was mesmerized, and it is not easy to mesmerize Arjun. He is the master of philosophy. Now, someone who's so brilliant, can you imagine how difficult it must be to convince that person? And Krishna made him sit down and listen to him for at least an hour. Very difficult to make someone like that sit down and hear. Because first of all, they know so much. And secondly, at every point, they have so many inquiries to make. So Krishna, his speech is so powerful that even someone like Arjuna is spellbound. What to speak of ordinary living entities like ourselves, or conditioned souls like ourselves? If we can simply surrender our ears to Krishna, the ears will be liberated to hearing what Krishna says. And thirdly, the verse explains that he performs activities so that we can be liberated from the activities in this material world. And in the purport, the commentaries of acharyas like Sridhar Swami and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explained. The three points being explained here. Why Krishna appears and why we must be so eager to hear about Krishna's activities. Sometimes an activity of one of the avatars in one mantra is so short. Like Prishni Garbha. What do we know? Recently, just on Monday, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu mentioned about the connection between Prishni Garbha and Dhruva. Dhruva saw this form of the Lord as Prishni Garbha. His mother was Prishni. That is all we know. The one who bore the Lord within her womb, Prishni Devi, the Lord became known as Prishni Garbha. Nothing else. And Shukdev Goswami is just giving that. But just this activity, this much is sufficient for what? First. The first reason that we should hear about the Lord's activities, we should be eager to hear about the Lord's activities, is explained by the acharyas as, it allows us to see the difference between the fruitive activities of the materialists and the activities of dovetailing our propensity in Krishna's service. It is so difficult to see the difference between the two. To speak ordinarily, they also eat, we also eat. They also do certain activities, we also do. Or devotees also do. After some time it becomes, that is where complacency can come in. We think that the activity itself is important. And we cannot differentiate between the two. What is the difference between the materialists doing their activities and the devotees dovetailing their activities in Krishna's service? So when we hear about the activities of Krishna, especially when we hear of devotees, we see the difference between the two. We can understand the fine discrimination or the difference between the two. So that is the first point. Like, okay, let me give this example. There was this young American boy who came to India to want to become a sannyasi. Not a sannyasi, he wanted to understand philosophy of India. So he was going to various places, became a sadhu, a traveling mendicant. And then he visited one particular holy place where he saw another mendicant giving blessings to others. Most probably this was in Mithila. So he approached this mendicant and he said, please give me your blessings. So his accent and his speech, he was speaking in English. This young boy was speaking in English. So sadhu understood. He said, what? You're from America? He spoke in English. Now the local people did not know English. So he could easily converse with them. At the same time, go on giving blessings. So he said, you're from America? And he's also blessing. He says, yes, I came from America. Why did you come to India? To become a sadhu. He says, you're crazy. I am doing all this so one day I can get sufficient funds to go to America. And you are in America and you've come all the way here? You're mad. So this young American boy, he said, please just give me blessings and I'm going. He left that place. So difficult to understand. The activities of materialists and of those who are dovetailing all their activities in Krishna's service. When we sincerely hear of the activities of the Lord in the various manvantaras that he has performed, it allows us to see that difference. Second point. There is this speculative tendency to always try to understand everything and then want to or aspire to do something. Why this is like this? How? Let me understand it clearly. This speculative tendency is rampant. Like once in Kumbh Mela, I was explaining to someone and he says, how can I believe Krishna is there? So I gave Prabhupada's example, typical example, sun. It arises in the morning. When it arises, you see. He says, that is good. But how do you know it is a sun and nothing else? So I said, because it arises in the east in the morning and the only thing that comes up in the east is the sun. He says, yes, that is good. But how do I know it is the east? And then finally comes back, so how do I surrender to Krishna? I know I should surrender to Krishna. But how can I be sure? I surrendered to him and said, please, before I become unsure, you leave. So this tendency, how, why, always troubles one. When we hear the second point that is being referred to, the speculative tendency or the jnani tendency that is there, that is slowly lost when we hear of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And third, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Krishna, when he appears in this world, he performs activities just like ordinary living entities. Why does he do so? He says, so that we can relate to him. Not just relate to him, but become attracted to those activities. Krishna is also playing with his cowherd boyfriends. I can also play. So then we can relate. And then when we hear through that relationship, through that understanding, same platform of understanding, we become attracted to the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is his merciful concession given to the living entities so that they can give up their enjoying mentality and their indifferent attitude towards the Lord since time immemorial. Two things that we can give up. One is the enjoying propensity, and second is the indifferent attitude that we have, Ichha and Dvesh. These things can be given up. And therefore Krishna says in that purport, this verse is being referred to. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punar janma nayeti mameti swarjuna. If we can understand these activities of the Lord in truth, then one is freed from material entanglement, goes back home, back to Godhead, never ever to return. This is Krishna's promise. And this is all possible through the simple process of sincerely dedicating our consciousness in chanting the process, the Yuga Dharma of this age, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Raghunandan Thakur ki jai, Shri Bangshidas Babaji Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.